Thank you, Jesus. We want to go to the Lord in prayer. We'll ask God to do only what he can do. Thank God for the rain. Amen. Praise God. We're appreciative. We're joyful for it. Amen. I want you to pray with us. I mean, we have special needs that I want to just get you to help us pray about. Amen. First of all, Brother Cowan in Kansas, they had two twin grandbabies. Micah Cowan had, he and his wife, little twins. They were preemies, and they've had one difficulty after the next. And I want you to help us pray that this morning that God would undertake. Both these preemies got to come home, and now they're back in the ER, back in the hospital with breathing problems. And it's so bad that they cannot put the babies in the same room. So mama has to be here, daddy has to be there in the next room. And we want the Lord to touch baby Jameson and baby Grayson. And we're so thankful that this week, Brother Riley got to come home. Brother Riley is very weak, very weak. But it was the hand of God. Amen. That the Lord used a cardiologist here in Nacogdoches and a cath lab. Sister Shannon was part of that team. And I'm telling you, God did a work right there by just the wisdom of a man. Amen. We're going to believe the Lord to touch Brother Riley now. After open heart surgery with the VA, he's trying to recover. He's very much in pain. And every time he coughs, he's hugging a pillow. And you can imagine, he and Sister Riley both need our prayers today. We're going to believe the Lord. Remember our faithful saints, Brother Martin, Sister Martin here. They need healing. Remember also Sister Tamara, the God would touch and minister. Our God is still on the throne, church. Amen. Hallelujah. Still the great physician. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm going to believe the Lord today to touch. Do you have a special need today? Do you have a need today you want the Lord to undertake? If you got somebody you want to pray for, amen, just lift your hands. And I want you to, amen, look around. There's people here with needs that are represented in this place. Amen. Let's go to the King of Kings. Lord, we love and we trust you. We believe you today, God, for the work of your hand, the miracles that you're going to give. We thank you for answers, God, unfolding your will and your plan in this day and hour for your church. We give you thanks and we give you praise for all that you're doing. We thank you for victory. We thank you for joy. We thank you for peace in the Holy Ghost. We give you praise this morning, God, for the answer. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord another hand. Hallelujah. You're holy. God, you're holy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And our youth class may be dismissed today. Amen. Praise God. I love what I feel in the Holy Ghost today. Amen. It's been beautiful. Amen. To watch what God is doing in lives and souls and to be a part of God's mighty army of this whole hour that we're in. Amen. I don't know about you. I'd rather be in the house of God than the best hospital in the whole world. How about you? Amen. I'd rather be right here in the house of God than any place I know. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I want to go to Matthew today, the 16th chapter, Matthew chapter 16. And I sure love and appreciate you, God's people. I love my church family. And I am privileged to be a shepherd. I don't want to be your preacher. I want to be your pastor. What's the difference? Well, anybody can preach a sermon, but I better lead you and feed you and grow you and guard your soul. Hallelujah. I better have sense enough to recognize there's a lot of wolves in sheepskin. Uh-huh. And I better give you enough that you could recognize. Amen. Not everything that says bah is of God.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Not everyone that begins to proclaim, woo, hallelujah, Jesus, is of the King of Kings. Amen. I want to put something in us that we love the truth, live the truth, and we fight for the truth. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Praise God. So the book of Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13. Amen. Now, I'm gonna just tell off of myself. You'll notice that I've used notes. I use an iPad, but I never read my text from my iPad. I have it written out right here. And if I could show you my notes, I would show you that. I love the Word of God. I love the pages right here. This old book is my best friend. We don't put our Bible on the floor. We don't put our Bible somewhere else. I don't put anything on top of my Bible because this is my best friend. Brother Will, this thing will lead you, keep you, help you. Amen. And get you out of a lot of binds. Amen. Are you thankful for the word of the Lord, saints? So Matthew 16 and verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, some others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Everybody's got your identity to somebody else. I'm glad that Jesus is not somebody else, aren't you? And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Verse 16, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. When he said, thou art the Christ, he mentioned, thou art the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, the son of Jonas, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. You didn't get this from any book. You didn't get this from any man. It came through the work of the Holy Ghost. Verse 18, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, this revelation of who I am, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Somewhere when I was growing up, I heard a preacher preach about the gates of hell. And they talked about the gates of hell as if the gates of hell was the offensive agent against the church. He pictured in his preaching a little bitty church with big gates coming to crush that church. That's not what Jesus is saying. The gates of hell cannot successfully make it when the church is built on the rock, the foundation, and has the revelation of God in their life. Gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Verse 19, and I will give thee unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Are you thankful for the power of revelation? The power of revelation. Amen. I want you to lift your hands and ask God today just to guide us. Lord, I thank you for the guidance of your spirit, the guidance of your word. Thank you for your promises, your assurance, God, the things that you're doing today. I'm so thankful to know who you are, God, and be part of you. I give you praise and I give you thanks today for your guiding hand. In Jesus' name I ask, amen. Shake hands with somebody before you sit down and tell them there's no God like our God. Amen. Praise the Lord. The keys came with the revelation. Amen. The power of revelation is amazing when the light is turned on in somebody's mind. When somebody sees the truth, how beautiful it is when somebody gets it. Have you ever been offered something to eat and by the looks of it, you thought, uh-uh. We had a friend of ours that just texted Sister Crosswhite the other day. She said, do real Cajuns put potato salad in their gumbo? And my wife said, absolutely. And she's going, potato salad in your gumbo. Well, amen, two agents there I really don't care for. I really don't care for gumbo, and I definitely don't care for potato salad. But I watch people for the first time in their life, Brother Jeff, ever do it. They followed the example. Somebody said, just do it, try it. And they took a big glob of potato salad and they threw it in that gumbo. And I watched them when they began to eat and spoon it up to their mouth. It was like, boom, The light turned on. Their next bowl had a big old glob of potato salad in it. I'm telling you, how many's ever seen that happen where somebody looked at something? Nope. Amen. Somebody was telling me the other day, somebody came to their house and they said, oh, we don't like deer meat. And, well, they had said that just a little bit too late, because just a little bit later, amen, after they got to eating on it, amen, and they enjoyed it. They were eating, piece after piece, and they were enjoying that. Finally, after they got through eating, they said, I thought you said you didn't like deer meat, basically. And they said, we don't. Well, you just ate a whole bunch of it. Amen. Isn't it amazing when God turns the light on, when somebody says, I don't want that. There's no way I'm going to live for God. I love it when somebody says, there's no way. I love it when somebody says, oh, there's no way that I'm going to get excited in church. You're crazy. But when the Holy Ghost comes in your life, oh, there's a power. There's a difference. No wonder the scripture said, oh, taste and what? See that the Lord is good. I love it whenever somebody tastes it. And they see that the Lord is good. Amen. I love it when somebody gets a sample of the glory of God. Hallelujah. I told you before that my two older kids, when they moved to Sam's in Lufkin, it wasn't where it was at now, it was on Timberland Drive. We used to go there, and there was the little ladies that would stand there and give you samples. And my kids loved it. They loved sampling all the cheese and all the different things they had. Katie and Joel thought that Sam's was short for samples. You know what? I want when people walk in this place that they get a taste of what God has in store. I want them to get a sample. I want them to bring it home with them. That when they go other places, they can tell people, let me give you a sample of what God is doing at church. Well, let me give you a sample of what God has done in my life. The power of a realization and a revelation is important. Amen. I just don't have a religion, but I have the Almighty God living in my life and in my soul. It's still joy unspeakable and full of glory. Woo! Treasure. It's a treasure. The Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the glory may be of God and not of us. Amen. Old Dr. Popsicle didn't give it to me. General Superintendent didn't give it to me. A deacon didn't give it to me. But the God of heaven came in my life. Amen. The power of the Almighty God came. The power of a revelation. All week long, I stewed on the power of revelation. It has gone. Last Thursday night after church, Brother and Sister Savala, I hadn't got to see Brother Savala in a while, so we went to eat with Brother Savala, and I looked at him when we first got there. We was waiting on Sister Crosswhite to get there, and we're looking at each other. And before he could get in any conversation, I said, Brother Savala, I want you to tell me about a revelation in your life with God. Explain something that God revealed to you and the power of it. And he tells me, he said, Brother Crosswhite, I can remember when the Lord opened my understanding, when I seen the oneness of God. He said, whenever I realized, he said, I was raised around church. He said, I had pastor that taught that there's only one God. He said, I could quote Deuteronomy 6 and 4, Ephesians 4 and 5. I could tell everybody there's one God, not three, not two, but one. But when I saw the oneness of God, he said, something happened in my life. Are you thankful for that day that, oh, the curtain was opened up and you realized just who God is? Amen. The God that made the heavens, the thunder, the lightning, the rain. Amen. Is the God that I serve, the master of the universe. I don't serve an idol. I don't serve a weak thing. I serve the Almighty God who's never failed and faded. My God is still the same, but the power of revelation. Amen. I received the Holy Ghost at a youth camp when a man was teaching. That old preacher, everybody thought he was dry and dull. Amen. All them young people thought, oh, that's just old Brother Bird, Murray Burr. Who wants to sit in that class? All those kids, when Brother Bird was teaching that there's just one God and who that one God is, amen. Boy, man, they just as soon as the amen came, they hit the ball field. But there was one little boy there. Amen. One kid there all of a sudden got to hearing that. Amen. Before you know it, it was like the revelation of that one true God. Even though I was raised in that home that taught me the truth and in a church that taught me, amen, Brother Henry, when God gave me that, amen, the next thing I knew it, amen, I had my hands up, I was crying, I was weeping, amen, and the next thing, when I came to, I was outside of that outdoor tabernacle, underneath those pine trees where pine straw and red dirt was, and I could remember sweating down, amen, completely orange, amen, with that old red clay, amen, full of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues. Amen. Hey, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. When God gives you the keys of revelation, there's a power, there's a joy with revelation. Amen. Amen. For years, amen, people have tried to tell me, oh, you know, that can't be true. Amen. There's got to be more than just one God. Amen. When they see, amen, they begin to take, oh, there's three people up there. And begin to say, you know, there's triplets. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And they talk about three. And they say, here's God the Father. And they depict him as an old man. But they believe that all of them started at the same time. And if they started at the same time, that means they were born at the same time, right? They had the same beginning. It'd be like triplets born. They say they're co-existent, co-equal, and co-eternal. You'll never find the word Trinity in the Bible. You'll never, any Jewish person that is a true Jew will tell you God cannot be subdivided. God cannot be three persons. They believe that there's three different individual persons that is called God in a council that is sitting up there. So we got old Papa God right here. And they got the Son. And then they got a dove they call the Holy Ghost. And they begin to tell everybody, that's God, the counsel of God, three different consciences or three different persons. But all through the Word of God, it has been pounded and pounded and pounded in the minds through the Word of the Lord that, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Amen. God said, when I created the heavens, I did it alone. God cannot be subdivided. Well, Brother Cross, why, how is it? Number one, I'm going to tell you, number one, God is a spirit. Everybody say God is a spirit. Now, God is three O's. He's omnipresent. O number one, he's omnipresent. That means God is what? Everywhere. The next thing, God is omnipotent. The second O, omnipotent. Anybody knows what omnipotent means? All powerful, all potent. Brother Will, it's the second O, omnipotent. The third O is God is omniscient, all knowing. Oh, I'm thankful that when you look at the Word of God, God is God. Amen. God don't have to be subdivided to be God. But listen to this, he's Father in creation. He created, he spoke the world into existence. And the role of a father, are you thankful that God is your father? And the Bible says God became flesh. There was no flesh before Calvary, and there was no flesh before Bethlehem. God became a man. The Bible says when Mary, whenever the Holy Ghost overshadowed her, notice, it don't say God the Father overshadowed her. It said the Holy Ghost. So that is a confusing thing to people that believe in three gods. Who's the Father of Jesus? The Bible says the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary. But are you thankful that you got a little bit more revelation to understand that God is a spirit? And there are different modes of operation that he works in. As Father, he creates. As Son, he redeems, and it was a lamb. And as the Holy Ghost, he lives inside of us. Three different manifestations of the one true God. Now, if there were three different people up here, we got old man God, young man God, and the dove. It would be subdivided. And all through the Word of God, we find that the Word begins to tell us that God cannot be divided. God's power, he said, Jesus made the statement, all power in heaven and earth belongs to who? Me. Well, if Jesus had all power in heaven and earth, if there was two more, that means two other gods were powerless. But I'm glad to know that you, God has given the key to, that you can understand and see, amen, having that key of knowledge that there's not three, there's not two, there is only one God. Let me tell you something. You look through church history, you look in the encyclopedias, and you will find that they always believe. Do you know that William Penn, the man that started Pennsylvania, believed in one God and denied with the concept of the Trinity. He said there cannot be a Trinity. In the United States of America, many of the original people that came here did not believe it. That's why they left England, because it would be harassed. There's a man named John Calvin. John Calvin is a lot of people that are Calvinists. They believe once saved, always saved. He was one of them that he was supposed to be a preacher, right? How would you like your pastor to burn somebody at a stake because they didn't agree with him? He burned a man at the stake named Michael Servetus because Michael denied there was a Trinity. You look in your history, John Calvin. And Michael had a lot of things that he had stood for. William Penn, the founder of Pennsylvania, said, the God of heaven, the God that made heaven, the God of the Jews, is the real God. I want to tell somebody today, when you understand who God is, God don't need to be in three different persons. Amen. God is God by himself. Amen. He's the one that knows. Amen. When the star's up there, when the star falls, he knows when the sparrow falls. He knows the sand by the sea, and he knows your need today. What a mighty God I serve. History will tell you that the Roman Catholic Church in 326 AD, in that area, 326, they started changing and started adopting some Roman ways. Remember, the Romans worshiped many different gods. They worshiped this and this and this and this. And they said, what are we going to do? We're going to set up a figurehead of three different powers to be what we call the Holy Trinity. Well, I want to tell somebody today, God don't need another one to be God and be powerful. Amen. God is God, the God that spoke this universe into place all through the Word of God. Well, man, that's not what my mama taught me. That's not what my Sunday school teacher taught me. Amen. Hey, friend, man has opinions, but we need to stick with the Word of God. The Word of God is right. The Word of God is true. And I said it last Thursday. The Word of God's going to be right 9 times out of 9. Every time. But there's something about the revelation of who God is, the power of it. In that little youth camp that day in Southwest Louisiana, woo, that man of God was preaching or teaching about the one true God. And I can remember all of a sudden, I felt God. I seen it. And how beautiful it was, amen, for God to fill me with the Holy Ghost. I looked down at that little white shirt I had on. I thought, my mama's going to whip me. Amen. I messed my shirt all up. But you know what? Amen. It didn't happen. My mom and daddy were rejoicing when I came home. Amen. And God filled me with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Just as quickly as I got home, we made arrangements. And I was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of my sins. Amen. Are you thankful for the power of the Almighty God? Amen. I have a name that is above every name in my life. Amen. How wonderful it is. We're teaching in the jail, Brother Zach and I, and there was a young lady sitting there just Thursday, and I'm teaching. In fact, they only brought three of these people from this particular dorm because they were too busy to get other people. They said, we'll get this dorm. And this particular dorm had three ladies, and one of them was named Vanessa, the other one named Hallie, and the other one was another lady, I can't remember her name, but one of her brothers has come to our church. And so here she, all three of them, and the Lord spoke to me, take time out, slow down, and teach them a Bible study. And so we put a big old table right there in front of these. And I began to set that Bible study chart that I began to teach them. And I watched Hallie as God began to touch her. And I watched tears begin to roll down her face. But Vanessa has been in and out. Vanessa's been in. She's been to prison. She's been out. And I looked at her. She said, "Brother Carson, I know it." She said, "I can't stay away from this horrible place." She said, "I keep repeating the same thing." She said, "I need help from God." But there in front of that Bible study chart that day, Thursday, I watched something get a hold of Vanessa for the first time. I watched the light turn on. And she said, "Brother Crosswhite, I never felt what I felt right now. I was not preaching. I was not right in their face. And you know what I was just doing? I was just telling them about the power of the Word of God." Amen. When I began to share, and I'm just teaching about the books of the Bible and how we got the Bible. And pretty soon, all of a sudden, boom, the light turned on in her. Tears started rolling down her face. And she looked at me. She said, "I've never seen this before." She said, "I feel something stirring me." I want to tell somebody, once God gives you a revelation, you can't take it away. I'm thankful for the power of who God is, that God will say, "Let me introduce myself to you." Now, there's people that have head knowledge, intellect. There's some smart people on the face of the earth. But God don't want you to have a bunch of head knowledge. You could quote the scriptures. You could know how to quote it just right. But until there's a dawning of understanding, even when God turns the light on for somebody, how beautiful it is and how marvelous it is and how powerful it is when God lets you know exactly what His Word has said. How many of you have had a revelation in your life where God gave you something? Amen. The power of the Lord. A revelation is a treasure. A revelation is a powerful thing. Because here's Jesus looking at His disciples and said, "Who do men say that I am?" And they said, "Well, some say you're John the Baptist." Well, John the Baptist got his head cut off. That means they believe in the resurrection, don't they? Some believe that you're Isaiah. Some believe that you're Jeremiah. Some believe that you're some of the prophets. Jesus looked at him and said, "But who do you think I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Messiah." You see, the Jewish people have been taught from day one there's going to come a Messiah. The God of heaven is going to come in the flesh. He's going to robe Himself in flesh. Isaiah said, "Unto you there's going to be a child born. Unto you a son is given, and the government shall be on His shoulders, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." No wonder when Jesus, they said, "Show us the Father." Jesus said, "Haven't I been so long with you, and you don't know who I am? When you see me, you've seen the Father." I'm glad to know that God was manifesting in the flesh. Jesus was 100% man and 100% God. He was God robed in a fleshly body. Why did He do that? Because, amen, Sister Susie, amen, He wanted to die on a cross for you, that you don't have to die in your sin. He wanted to shed blood to redeem you and buy you. Amen. So all these Jewish people heard about that all their life. They've read it through the book of Isaiah. They read it through the Psalms. They read it through the Old Testament. They remembered the Genesis account that there's going to be a Redeemer. There's going to be one that will come and take the thorn of sin out of your feet. The one that will come and redeem you and snatch you from the clutch of sin and give you power to overcome. And so they heard about that. But when Peter said that, Peter did not get that from anything else other than the Spirit of the Almighty God. The impact of God turning the light on in somebody's mind and soul. How beautiful it is. Amen. There's times I was struggling with things in my life as a young man. Even a young pastor. I started pastoring at 22 years old. And here I was struggling, thinking, "Okay, God, what am I going to do? How am I going to handle this?" And the Lord would speak to me and turn the light on. How beautiful it was to watch that. And when Sister Crosswhite and I first, when we started pastoring as 22-year-old kids in West Texas, we didn't know what to do but have church. The only thing we knew how to do was just have church like we were taught. And so here we were, Amen. She'd sing and I'd preach. And I'd preach with everything I was taught, every way I was taught. I would pray, God, help me to explain this. I can't explain it, but give me the ability. I loved it because I've watched people. Amen. There was a lady that came and her husband that came to our church service. And this lady had pastored a church. And in that service that day, the Holy God of heaven reached down. Amen. And God opened the eyes and the understanding of Margie. And we took Margie to that baptismal tank, which was a horse trough. And I baptized this lady in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of her sin. It was amazing because Margie had baptized a lot of people in other manners. But that day she got the name of Jesus because she said, Brother Crosswood, she said, I had preached behind pulpits and I've done all this for years and pastored a church. But she said, I never saw till the day when God rolled back the curtain. I want to tell somebody in the place, when God rolls back the curtain of your understanding, you just got a demonstration from the Heavenly Father, amen, to let you know, amen, that you are imparting to Him, that He will show you the way. Thank God for the way. Thank God for the truth. Thank God for the understanding. I love it when God gives revelation. I love it. Amen. When somebody, all of a sudden, I heard somebody that came to a church and God filled them with the Holy Ghost. And on the way home from that powerful Holy Ghost service, he reached on the dashboard of his pickup truck and he reached inside that carton and he got a cigarette out of that pack. He put it in his mouth and nobody had to tell him anything. He lit her up. All of a sudden, I mean, the first puff, he said, something said, man, this feels dirty. This feels, He crushed the cigarette. He got it out. He took his cigarettes and began to crush them up. He had never been around anywhere that taught him to get cigarettes. He crushed the whole carton up. And he said, I don't know why. The next day, when he went to work, he looked at the man that he went to church with and he said, you know what happened to me? He said, I got in my truck after that service and he said, I put that cigarette and he said, something got a hold of me. I felt dirty. He said, what was that? And that man said, that's conviction. That's God letting you know that God don't like that. I want to tell you, conviction is also revelation. It's a revelation of what God likes and what God dislikes. How many has ever God given you a conviction before? Amen. You were doing something, all of a sudden, boom. You know, there's people today that don't like conviction. There's people that don't want conviction. There's churches that don't want to preach conviction messages. Amen. But I want to tell somebody in the Holy Ghost, when God convicts you, it's God giving you some intimate power and some intensive care. When God tells you no, amen, it's not God going, no, 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 baby. It's God saving you from a multitude of troubles and God working on your heart to put a treasure inside of you. Amen. Are you thankful for the treasure of the Lord that God would come in and show interest in your life to give you some insight of something that is offensive to God? There's things, I mean, the Holy Ghost has spoke to me through the years. I'm not going there. I'm not going to do that. Somebody said, well, it's okay. And they tried to explain it away and tell me, you're crazy, you're brainwashed. No, 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 I'm convicted of the Holy Ghost of some things. When God gives you convictions in your life, it don't mean you're odd, it means you're selected. When God says, hey, I want to put something in your life, an insight. I want you to feel that conviction and that revelation of something that God is trying to reveal to you is a powerful treasure. It ought to be something instrumental in your life. It should not be an insult. Amen. Are you thankful for the instrumental power of conviction? The conviction of the Holy Ghost is a beautiful thing. I watched a man one time grip the back of a pew and shaking as God was convicting him. That old pew began to shake. And he was given a white knuckle grip. You know what I'm talking about? Amen. He was shaking all over. Amen. And boy, and the man of God said, why don't you just let God and come down this, get out of that pew. And man, that guy couldn't let go. He was just shaking all over. Finally, he said, you're going to have to just say, God, I surrender. Yeah. That old boy lifted both the heat and won't stick his hands up. The Holy Ghost fell on him. Amen. God filled that man with the Holy Ghost, delivered him from adultery. Amen. He got married within 2 weeks. Amen. Not only that, but God filled him so full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That God began to use him. He became a mighty soul winner. But he was a drunk. He was an alcoholic. He was a runaround. He was sleeping around with every woman there was. But the Holy Ghost made a difference that day in him. Revelation. Most powerful thing. I'm glad that God still convicts us. Conviction should never be a negative thing to you. It should be a holy, a wholesome thing to your soul. A treasured thing. You know what God is trying to do? When God convicts you, Brother Ashton, I want to use you, brother. Run up here. Conviction is God saying, I want to put my arms around you and secure you from this. I want you to feel the way I feel. And God begins to step in between you this and say, look. Look how nasty this is. Look how problematic this is. You don't want to go there. You don't want to hang around with that. You don't want to do that. Amen. That's the compliment of God Almighty, that he would care enough to step in between you, put his arms around you, and reveal something to you that's going to help your soul. Amen. Thank you, bro. Amen. I'm thankful for the power of God, the power of revelation. Amen. Now we want to go to the word of the Lord in Acts, the 8th chapter. The Bible spoke in the book of Acts chapter 8. I think it's verse 23, 26 or 23. But the Lord spoke to Philip. Philip was a man that God was using. And I'm going to ask the question today. Can God speak to you? Does God have liberty to speak to you? Man, I've seen the Holy Ghost convict people. Amen. Of things. And God trying to get a hold of them. Amen. And I seen people sitting right next to them. God could not speak to them because they didn't want God to speak to them. They didn't want God to interrupt them. They didn't want God to mess. Oh, that's too legalistic. No, not when the Holy Ghost is involved. The Holy Ghost is never legalistic. The Holy Ghost is never, but with the Spirit of the Lord, there is what? Liberty. God wants to liberate some people. There's many people that have chains of darkness all in their life. But we find in Acts the 8th chapter, verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, go towards the south unto the way that goeth down from the desert, Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Two roads led outside of Jerusalem. One of these was the Gaza road. It was the desert road, south of Jerusalem. The Lord said, go that way. Oh, why? Man, I don't want to go down the desert road. Desert road's a hard road to travel, but the Lord said, go. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. This was her chief financial officer of the queen Candace of Ethiopia. This man somewhere became a worshiper of the one true God in Judaism. He was a proselyte Jew. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. But what did he have in his hand? Read on with me. He was returning and sitting in his chariot and read Isaiah the prophet. Now let's just think about this. He was reading the book of Isaiah. Back in those days, they didn't have a Bible like we have. When they had a scripture like the book of Isaiah, it was in a scroll form. And to have a scroll in those days, you had to pay a lot of money just to have a scroll. Most of the scrolls were kept in the temple. Most of the scrolls were handled by the scribes and by those in the temple. They were well taken care of. But obviously, this man had enough money to say, I want a scroll. I want a copy of the book of Isaiah. You know what he was doing? He was headed back to Ethiopia from Jerusalem, and he was carrying the word with him. And the word was priceless, but he was willing to pay the price to have a copy of the scroll. Let's just read on. And Philip ran thither close to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And Philip said, basically, understand thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me. And he desired that he would come up and sit with him in the chariot. And obviously, the chariot had a driver, he had a chauffeur. As we read on, we'll find out about it. Verse 32, the place of the scripture which he read was this, Isaiah 53, basically. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before a shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch asked Philip, he said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Was Isaiah talking about himself or some other man? Verse 35 is where I want to get to. Then Philip opened his mouth and began where? At the same scripture. And what did he preach? He preached Jesus unto him. How beautiful it was. Amen. God had this man right on target for Philip to preach about Jesus. Verse 36, and as they went on their way, see the chariot was moving, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Verse 38, and he commanded the chariot to stand still. Chauffeur, stop this machine. Amen. Stop this vehicle. Amen. Here's water. I'm just to be baptized. And they both went down into the water. And Philip baptized him, calling on the name of the Lord. I'm telling somebody today, amen, what a powerful revelation. When somebody hungers for God, this noble man, this noble rich man who had a lot of authority, obviously had a lot of money and a lot of position, he recognized there was something more for him. He had left worship in the temple, but he knew there was something he was reading with hunger. This noble man had a noble search that said, I want, there's something here that I just can't see. This man that was successful found himself as a failure because he could not understand. I want to tell somebody in the Holy Ghost, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. When you've got an appetite to know more of God, amen, you're going to reach to the God of heaven. And the God of heaven has a way of sending somebody to you. Here's Philip. He hears the man reading. And he explains to him, and he somehow or another, right there in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 53 is talking about the suffering servant, how the Messiah is going to suffer. I don't know how Philip got it into the preaching, but hear me, amen. In the midst of it, amen, Brother Danny, Philip began to preach about baptism somewhere. I don't find in Isaiah 53 anything about baptism, but Philip put it in there. You know why Philip put it in there? Because it was a necessity. It was something that Jesus taught. It was something that Jesus fulfilled in the word of the Lord. And something that Jesus commanded. Oh, friend, I'm going to tell you, when God turns the light on, you'll stop your chariot. You'll stop the direction you're going. You'll say, I don't have time for anything else. I got to get to the plan of God. I got to have the way of God fulfilled in my life. What must I do to be saved? Hallelujah. Isn't that powerful to see the hunger, the thirst met by fulfillment? Paul was in prison, and I love it about the jailer. Or even Peter was in jail. You remember when the jailer was supposed to fall on his sword? And he said, don't do yourself any harm. We're all here. But the scripture said at the same time, there rose up at midnight. And they taught the jailer and his household, and they baptized them at midnight. If baptism is not important, why was it done at midnight? Somebody, they didn't have a baptism tank in that jail, folks. They didn't have a baptism tank there. I don't know how they done it. But at midnight, they had to make preparations for a family to be baptized. The jailer and his household. at midnight was baptized. Inconvenient time and an inconvenient manner. I want to tell you, it's never inconvenient for God's plan to be obeyed. Amen. You need to obey the word of God. If you have not been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, don't take my word for it, friend. Amen. Baptism will save you. The scripture said in the epistles, you got to be born again. Jesus said of the water and the spirit, the sea are in unto the kingdom of God. It's never inconvenient for you to obey the word of God. It's always timely, because the revelation is a recognition. Amen. Oh, friend. Amen. I've been in services where God revealed things to me, where God began to speak to me as a pastor that there was somebody there, that this was their service. And it was very soon that I recognized when God tells me something like that, don't hold back. Don't be afraid. Amen. There have been men of God that says, somebody here tonight, amen, God's dealing with you about something. Amen. I don't want to be so important, involved in a message that I think I got to give this big production when the Holy Ghost tells me that somebody needs to repent of their sin. Somebody needs to get something right with God. Amen. I don't want to be so dignified and chicken fried. I can't obey the Holy Ghost. I want the Holy Ghost to have precedent. I want God to have the liberty. I want to have the key to help somebody to unlock some things in their life. Amen. I love it when God goes out of the norm sometimes. Amen. Hallelujah. To work in a heart and a mind and a soul. Amen. Are you thankful for the truth of God? Are you thankful for the revelation of the Almighty God? Amen. Oh, amen. Has God ever dealt with you about something that you had to get rid of and get something right in your life? You had to do something. Amen. You couldn't wait another moment when the Holy Ghost began to deal with you. You had to do with it. Amen. You ever heard the old statement? You better strike when the iron is hot. You better do it while there's a flame burning. You better do it while there's day. You better do it while there's opportunity. The night cometh when no man can work. The scripture says, when God convicts you and God prompts you to take care of something, don't wait another day. Don't put it off. Obey the word of God. Amen. Let's go to Matthew 28:19. Matthew 28:19. Again, I don't want you to ever take my word for anything. I don't want to be a smart aleck behind a pulpit. I've been in services that the only person going to heaven is the man with the microphone. But I want to tell you, there's a way that God wants you to make it. God's not willing that anyone should perish, but all should come to repent. Aren't you thankful that God's given a way for us to come to Him? Uh-huh. Now, the Great Commission. What is a commission of all things? A commission, the word commission, like you commissioned somebody, you gave them orders to do something. But the simple word for commission is a commandment and a mission put together, right? Commission. The Great Commission here. Jesus tells his disciples, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name. Everybody say the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The name. Everybody say the name. Now, this is the way I teach it in the jail. I am a father, I am a son, and I am a husband. And when Sister Crosswhite married me, she didn't get the title father. She didn't get the title son, and thank God she's not a husband. I tell them that. I mean, that's the way I use it in the jail. But she got my name. That day she became a Crosswhite. She took on my name. So, father is not a name. Son is not a name. Husband is not a name. Holy Ghost is not a name. The Bible says, go you there for teach all nations, baptize in the name. If you know anything in English and diagramming sentences, you'll know that it's talking about a particular name. Name of the Father, name of the Son, and name of the Holy Ghost. Now, go to Acts 4:12 with me. Acts chapter 4. Now, I could quote this, but I want you to see it. And I'm slowing down because I felt this in the Holy Ghost. Amen. The power of revelation. This may be old corn to you, but never let it become old to you. Amen. Let the word of God always churn and burn in your heart.
Amen.
Amen. Acts 4:12, the scripture says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be what? No other name. Are you thankful to know that name that is above every name? Amen. Are you thankful for the power of the name of Jesus Christ? Amen. The power of the name. Amen. You don't rebuke devils in the name of titles, but you do it in the name of Jesus Christ. So the Great Commission, go baptize in the name. The name. What happened whenever they started obeying? Acts 2. Let's go Acts 2 now. When the Holy Ghost fell, the church began. Acts chapter 2. Turn there with me. Come on, don't take my word for it. Don't ever take a preacher's word for it. Somebody say amen. Amen. You need to back it up with the book. You need to back it up with the book. Come on, this book's going to be right every time.
Yes,
amen. 238, or let's go 237. Now, I want you to notice when Peter was standing here, when he stood up, verse 14, 214, Peter standing with the 11, 12 men that followed Jesus were standing that day. If Peter would have got out of order, Brother Coon, 11 hands would have grabbed his coattail that day. Peter standing up with 11. And he answers the question. Look at verse 26 or 27. Or 37, I'm sorry. 237 now. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter, not just to Peter, but to the rest of the apostles as well, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter standing up with 12 different ambassadors. Say in verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent. Why in the world did he tell them to repent? Because Jesus had already told them, when you preach, you better preach repentance. Except you repent, you're going to perish. Jesus put it in writing. Jesus put it in law. Except you repent. If you don't turn, you're going to burn. You got to repent. So Peter preached, repent and be baptized. What does it say? Every one of you, not some of you, every one of you, how? In the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the remission of sins. Let's just stop and camp out here for a moment. Amen. I don't know why I've taken it so slow, but God does. Amen. It's for the remission of sins, to be baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ. What does the word remission mean? It means forgiveness. It means for the eradication of your sins. You want your sins remitted? You've got to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So the Great Commission a while ago, you remember that commission and that commandment? Here they start to obey and do what God had already told them to do. Let's go to Acts 8 chapter again. Y'all, this is not my notes. I'm just following what I feel. Acts chapter 8, verse 5. We're going to go back to a man named Philip. Power of revelation. Scripture said, Acts 8, verse 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Verse 6, and the people with one accord gave heed or attention to the things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Verse 7, for unclean spirits crying out came out of many of them that were possessed with them, and many with palsies, many taken with palsies and were lame, were healed. Verse 8, and there was great joy in that city. Now there's some people tell you, well, you know, I'm okay with God. I got joy in my heart. The Samaritans, did they have joy? It says there was great joy when they heard the word and saw what God was doing. Verse 9, but there was a certain man called Simon, which before in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that he was somebody great. To whom they all gave heed, they listened to him. From the least to the greatest, said, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. Man, they were scared of him and they regarded him. He had power. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondering, behold, the miracles and signs which were done. Verse 14. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. Verse 15. Who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Can I talk to you right now? You need the Holy Ghost in your life. The Holy Ghost is not just believing. These people believed, they had joy, but they did not have the Holy Ghost. Amen. Peter and John prayed for them. Look what it says. Verse 16. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized how? In the name of the Lord Jesus. My. Verse 17. Then laid they their hands on them, and what happened? They received the Holy Ghost. Just like on the day of Acts chapter 2, day of Pentecost. Let's go to Acts chapter 10 now. I know that some of you are thinking, man, this is, oh, but I want to tell you, this never should get old and cold to you. Are you thankful for the power of the word of the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. Acts chapter 10, verse 1. Look at the pattern of the word of the Lord. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of a band called the Italian band. He was a lieutenant or a captain of over 100 men. And it was called the Italian band in Caesarea, Roman soldier. Verse 2, he was devout, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Sound like a very religious man, didn't he? Cornelius was one that prayed. He was devout. He feared God. And you would think, that, oh, he didn't need anything else in his life. But I want to tell you, it's more than just fearing God. It's more than praying and more than being a giver. You need the Holy Ghost in your life. You need to do some things that God wants you to do. Verse 3. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God come to him and say unto him, Cornelius. Are you thankful that God knows your name too? And he looked on him and he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said to him, thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. Verse 5. He said, man, all this is happening. Now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with Simon a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. God had more for Cornelius. Look what happened, verse 7. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things, he sent them to Joppa. Go fetch Peter, basically. But on the other hand, God was working on Peter. Verse 9. On the morrow, as they went on their journey, they drew nigh unto the city. Peter went up unto the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry, would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. And he saw heaven open. And a certain vessel was descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth. And in that sheet there were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, verse 12, and wild beasts and creeping things and fowl of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I've never eaten any of these that is commanded, that is common or unclean. He said, Lord, there's pigs in that sheet, There's crawfish in that sheet. I'm a Jew. I don't eat that kind of thing. But the Lord says, rise, kill, and eat. Why was God doing that? He was giving him a revelation because Cornelius was not a Jewish man. God was fixing to fill the non-Jewish people with the Holy Ghost. And God wanted him to see that it don't. The Old Testament is over. Jesus Christ took care of it. Today you could eat cracklings. Today you could eat boudin. Somebody say amen. You could eat crawfish. You could have shrimp po' boy right now. Amen. Because of Jesus Christ dying on the cross. That ought to make you excited. Rise, slay and eat. And verse 15, and the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call thou not common. This was done three times, and the vessel was received up in heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men that came from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house, and they stood before the gate. Verse 18. And called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men seek thee. Boy, I love the way God puts things together. Arise, therefore, and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. And Peter went down to the men, which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, behold, I am he whom thou seek. And what is the cause where you're come? Verse 22. And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a just man, one that feareth God and of good report among all nations of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee in his house and hear words of thee. Verse 23. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. Back in those days, no Jewish person was going to have fellowship with a Gentile. The Lord said, go. And God sent for Peter, and here's Peter obeying God now. Verse 24. And on the morrow, as they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them and called together his kinsmen and near friends. Man, when you see the treasure, you know God's supposed to do something. Amen. I don't want this thing just to be done. Man, he got everybody could together. Verse 25. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped Peter. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up. Don't worship me, in other words. I myself am also a man. Verse 27, he talked with him, and he went in and found many that were come together. Verse 28, and he said unto them, you know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company with one of another nation. But God had showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Verse 29, therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. And I asked, therefore, for what intent have you sent for me? Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting. See, there is power in fasting and prayer. The same ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me and brought me in bright clothing. And Cornelius and said, Cornelius, thy prayers is heard. Thy alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, call for Simon, whose name is Peter. He goes through the story. Look at verse 34 now. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of person, but in every nation he that feareth him. When you respect God and reverent God and you work righteousness is accepted with him. Somebody say, it's not by works. No, it's not. It's not by your works. It's by righteous works, this is said. Fearing God and doing righteous things, you're going to be accepted with God. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. He goes on to begin to say all about Jesus. Look at verse 44 now. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. The Jewish people were astonished. As many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out what? The gift of what? The Holy Ghost. How did they know they had the Holy Ghost? Verse 46. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Are you thankful that, friend, God still pours out his Holy Ghost and you're going to still speak with other tongues? Verse 47. Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we. Just like we got the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, these Gentiles are receiving the Holy Ghost. Can we deny them water? But next verse. And he commanded, not suggested. Why was it commanded to these people to be baptized in the name of the Lord? Why was it? Because Jesus had given them the great commission to baptize in his name. Amen. The name of the Lord. Amen. One more example. Let's go to Acts 19. And I'm going to wrap it up after that. But we're talking about the power of revelation today. Acts 19, verse 1. And it came to pass while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. Verse 2, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? You mean you had received the Holy Ghost? You know what they said? We have not heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Verse 3, and he said unto them, unto what were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Now, you're talking about John the Baptist here. Now, Paul said, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. Look at verse 5. When they heard this, they were baptized, how? In the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 6, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. I want to tell you today, the power of truth. Amen. When somebody sees the truth of God, amen. These people, Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? They said, we hadn't heard about it. How were you baptized? But John the Baptist, do you think if John the Baptist baptized you, that you needed something more? Paul in the scripture commanded them to be baptized. And they were baptized in the name of the Lord. And when Paul laid his hands on them, they received the Holy Ghost and spake with other tongues. Amen. Saint of God in this place. Amen. You know what God has called us in this hour? Amen. A revelation will grow you. A revelation will keep you. A revelation will sustain you. There's something about it when somebody sees the truth of God and starts obeying God. A revelation can revolutionize your life. Amen. I'm thankful for the power of God that still revolutionizes somebody. That a man that would walk in this place full of sin, full of problems, but the revelation, when God rolls back the curtain and shows you that he has a plan for you, you don't have to die in your sin. You don't have to go to hell. That you could take on the name of Jesus Christ. And you could be baptized and have your sins removed from you. Amen. The power of revelation. Amen. Jesus told Peter, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not be successful and prevail against you. Are you thankful for the power of the word of God right now? Amen. I want you to lift your hands and thank God. Amen. That his word's still alive and well. Amen. The word of God still works. Amen. The power of God is still in operation. Somebody needs to thank him today. Amen. It may be something you're bored with today, but never let it get to the place that you get bored with what God has done for you. Don't ever let the treasure become something cold to you. Don't ever let revelation become something that is dull to you. But keep it on fire in your soul. When somebody gets up and tells what God's done for them, you ought to thank God for what he did for you as well. Still excites me. Ooh, when somebody loves God. Hey, go ahead and stand with us right now. Amen. When somebody's so thrilled for the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Somebody said, oh, Pastor, whatever it takes. Amen. Saint of God. Amen. When you're hungry and you're thirsty. Amen. Oh, you. I don't like to feed somebody that pushes food around in their plate. But I love hungry people. Amen. I go to the jail because there's people there. I got a captive audience at the jail. But there's some people hungry there. Amen. How wonderful it is to watch them. Every morsel that you get. Amen. Brother Will, how beautiful to watch what God's doing in your life. This young man takes notes in church. Amen. He's right. He his Bible study every week. Amen. He's hungry. He wants what God has for his life. God's not done. The Holy Ghost is not a diploma. When you receive the Holy Ghost, it's not where you just say, oh, well, I'm done. I'm finished. I complete. No, the Holy Ghost is not a diploma. It's a birth certificate. It's a time to grow. Brother Fancher, it's a time to go on a little deeper, a little higher. Brother Jeff, it's time to grow more in God, to let the fruit of righteousness. Oh, God has so much more than just an Acts 2:38 experience for you. God has a depth. God has a glory for your life, saint of God. But we got those that think, oh, well, I got it all. I got it all, Pastor. I got it all. I got the Holy Ghost. I got baptized. No. Amen. I want my question to you is, does the Holy Ghost got you, have you? When the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you, it'll burn inside of you like a fire. Amen. It'll get you in the middle of the night. Amen. Oh, it's not hard to pray when the Holy Ghost has a hold of you. Amen. When the Lord begins to convict you, amen, all things are starting to happen. Amen. I'm telling you, amen, it don't bother. I don't care how much you pay for it. Amen. When the Holy Ghost convicts you, amen, I watch people that had a brand new, amen, had a brand new big screen TV. Amen. Pulled it down off the wall, said, Pastor, the Holy Ghost convicted us. We got rid of it. He said, I threw it in the trash and I wouldn't let the trash man have it. He said, I busted it with a hammer because he said, all we did was watch filthy things on that thing. Hollywood began to corrupt my babies. Like Hollywood corrupted my life, my marriage. He took a hammer and he beat it to pieces because the Holy Ghost convicted him. And he said, that was a 2-month-old big screen. Prices don't matter anymore when God gives you a bigger treasure. Hallelujah. My God. Amen. You somebody ought to be thankful today for the power of revelation. Amen. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. Amen. And thank the Lord for the truth today. Thank you, Jesus, that you care enough to reveal, to open my eyes, to open the curtain. Let me see some things. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on. Can God deal with you? Can God convict you? Can God give you more? Amen. Oh, God wants to give you more than just Acts 2:38 religion. God wants to give you more than just come to church. God wants to work in your life. Amen. God wants you to grow. God wants you to become strong. God wants you to be a bearer of this gospel to people that don't know the truth. God wants you to take this further. Amen. And oh, God wants you to be that mighty person for him. God wants to put the keys of revelation in your hand. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. 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 Little Catholic man walked in church in Port Allen, Louisiana. Man, I think he worked on a job with somebody that told him about the truth. This was a devout Catholic, prayed, was very faithful, gave a lot of money to that Catholic church. But Ewell McGee became one of my heroes as a young boy because he may have received the Holy Ghost. I don't see my mom. Mom would tell you, Brother McGee, there's mom. Amen. Brother McGee received the Holy Ghost in Port Allen. And all during church, you watch that little man. He had a habit. He would do his hands like this. When he felt the Holy Ghost, he would pace. He was a weeper. Everybody else would shout, jump, and run the aisles. But Brother Ewell McGee would pace back and forth and do his hands like this. I walk in the prayer room with my mom and with my daddy and my brothers. Even as a kid, from day one of my memory, Ewell McGee would be in there rubbing his hands, doing like this, Jesus, thank you. They tell me when he retired in the middle of his house, he built a prayer room. And he wasn't much of a man. He couldn't talk good English. He was Cajun. He's Frenchy. And he didn't have good speech, but he could pray. He would pray for hours. And as a young boy, amen, some people would mock him. They would do their hands like old Brother McGee, just over and over. Looked like he was washing his hands, but amen, he would do that over and over. It was kind of weird. And all the kids in the church were kind of mocking, laughing. Yeah, look. But you know what it was? There was such an anointing on that man. God used him mightily. Remember that day that God filled him with the Holy Ghost and pulled him out of sin and pulled him out. Even when the Lord rolled back the curtain, amen, they said when Yule McGee received the Holy Ghost, he went back to his job and started bringing people with him to church. Amen. Brother Perkins was another man that came to God as a result. Amen. Roger Perkins was one of my dear friends. He's been here and preached for us. He pastors in Oregon. Amen. His grandpa, Brother Roger Perkins, received the Holy Ghost all because, amen, of a Yule McGee. I'm telling you, amen, somebody that said, God, I want to know there's got to be more of you. Amen. I wonder today if there's somebody in this room that would say, God, yes. Amen. Would you say yes to the Almighty God and say, God, I want more than what I got. I want a greater dimension in my relationship. I want more emphasis in the way that I'm living. God, I don't want to go to hell knowing the truth. I don't want to go on through life being a miserable person that just can quote the scripture but don't know the God of the scripture. Amen. Lord, I need a fresh revelation. I need a fresh fire to burn in my heart. I need a fresh consecration inside of my soul. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. I feel led that there's somebody here today that needs, amen, help in the Holy Ghost right now. I want you to get out of your chair. Amen. I want you to come into this front and lift your hands. God has, come on. It's not inconvenient for you to say yes to God. Amen. I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost pulling at somebody's heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you lift your hands? Amen. Say, God, here am I. Do it right now, Lord. Start some new work in my heart. God, a greater thing you have for me, God. Amen. Come on. Amen. The Holy Ghost is here to help somebody's soul today. Come on, there's got to be more to this. Amen. Than just coming to church. There's got to be more to this than just coming. Amen. And going through the motions. God has a greater thing for you. There's a power in His glory. Hallelujah. worship him.
Worthy of all praise.
You're thankful for the powerful name of Jesus. You got to be baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. History will tell you, the Word of God will tell you, that people were baptized using the name of Jesus Christ. And how people, ironically, why didn't want to take the name of Jesus out of baptism? They changed the formula. Some of them even started baptizing babies, or what they call baptized, with a little water on their head. Some started sprinkling. But the Bible says we're buried with Christ in baptism. The word baptized comes from the old Greek word, means to completely plunge, dip, immerse. And in the name of Jesus Christ. I don't know if you've heard about it. Amen. On Facebook, there's been somebody show me of a young man being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. He was blind for 8 years. And it's just recently happened. And he come out of the water. And when he come up, he started looking around. God opened his eyes after 8 years of being blind. And somebody showed me the testimony the other day of this man, how he was blind through chemicals and how the Lord healed him, and he was thankful for the healing virtue of God through the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm thankful I was healed of sin. Amen. Hallelujah. Healed. Amen. Of the sin in my life. Oh, corruption. No cancer called sin. Greed. Amen. That devil had in my life. Amen. I love you, saints of God. Amen. We're so thankful that tonight's service is birthday anniversary celebration after service. Choir will sing tonight. Today is Salt Sunday for our salt team. I'm going to stay here all day with our kids. Me and Sis Crosswhite, several of us are staying teaching our young people. Tonight's service, 6:30. And then after service, we have some refreshments and things in the third building. If you had a birthday in this month of September or married in September, we want to honor you tonight. But everybody gets to come and fellowship and eat and have refreshments after service tonight. Amen. I love my church family. I love God's people. Amen. I want to grow to heaven. How? God bless you. In Jesus' name, next Sunday will be Brother James Gross. And then the first Sunday of November will be Brother Steve McMullen with us. So we're excited. These great men of God's going to be with us on the first Sundays of the next 2 months. God bless you.
Probably so.
Yes, she doesn't know how to log in like to the server.